Welcome back to Comment. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but only if you join in. So we need your calls, your SMS, and your emails. We're talking about Gaza, about Burma, about Bahrain, and about the British government. So some things never change, because these issues will not go away, because we will not allow them to go away, because we are the voice of the voiceless. Let's go to my own patch, Bradford. Talk to Usman about Gaza. Usman, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, gonna be all right?
Yes, very well. Nice to hear your accent. Please.
Yeah, nice to. Yeah, it's a good thing that you're doing a great job.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say.
Come to our protest on Monday, by the way, about Burma.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to talk about what's going on in Gaza and Syria, because obviously I'm just a normal citizen myself, you see. Yeah, and I'd be sitting down and I'd be watching the news every day, you see. Every day, most of my life, I've been watching it, and all I've been seeing is murders and killings going on all over the world. And I've been thinking to myself, why is this going on? You see, who are these people that are killing these people? They're not doing nothing to nobody, you see, so they're really innocent people to me, I think. And I think, why is people dying out there? Why is nobody helping them out there? It's like, I want to help people out there, that are suffering out there, but I can't because I'm stuck in, England. Trying to work, and I'm working, and you can't really do nothing. So I just want to know, why are these people, killing these people?
Usman, first of all, we've got at 5 o'clock on Monday in the center of Bradford in Centenary Square a protest about the situation in Burma, and then I'm speaking at an iftar dinner later that evening in Bradford. If you want details, you can get them on our website. Or you can get them on my Facebook. And the purpose of that iftar dinner is to raise funds for the women's delegation that is headed for Gaza to try and break the siege. So there are lots of things that people can do. And nobody's an ordinary citizen if they are as concerned about events as you are. You're an extraordinary citizen. What we've got to do is make the extraordinary ordinary. As to why this is happening, well, there is good and evil in the world. These are trials and tribulations, and we are all being tested. Those of us who are directly on the receiving end of these trials or tribulations, and the rest of us, as to how we respond and react to them. All of us will be judged on the final day, on the judgment day, as to how we handled these trials and tribulations. We've got to work hard so that we can pass muster on that day. At least that's what I believe. Now, Ari is in the United States and wants to talk about Gaza. Ari, welcome to the show. Ari, don't tell me you hung up on me. I was so looking forward to hearing from you about Gaza, because this too is a subject that will not go away. Gaza has been under siege now for nearly 5 years for the crime of voting in a democratic election for a party, Hamas, that the enemies of Palestine don't like. I myself would not have voted for Hamas. I don't believe that Hamas are the right line for the Palestinian people. But I do believe in democracy, and the only people entitled to choose the government in Palestine are the Palestinians. Now, Ari in the US is on the line about Gaza. Ari, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I wanted to just... Fast background, I wanted to comment fastly. First of all, I listen to you a lot, and I'm happy to be on the show.
Thanks.
Second of all, I'm an American Jew that grew up in Israel. I just want to comment, Burma and Bahrain, I support the Muslims there. I'm sorry that injustice is happening there, and I support any effort to bring justice and to protect innocent people that are being harmed, Muslim or non-Muslims, it doesn't matter. That's that. To speak about Sinai and what happened there, I would say yes, to put it bluntly, Israel does benefit from it, but this is a huge difference between a macro analysis and real facts, and there are Muslims that fight and want to hurt other Muslims in Egypt and don't believe in the government in Egypt. It does exist, and with the siege and to close the blockade, listen, this Egypt is doing because that's in her interest to do it. And they're not doing it by Israel, and Israel isn't forcing it on her. It's in her interest because it recognizes that there is Islamic extremism in the Palestinian society. And that would be my response.
Well, look, I'll tell you what.
I don't know.
Tell you what, Ari, that's a very rational call and point of view, and I'm delighted to engage with you on it. You're right, as a matter of logic, the fact that Israel is the principal beneficiary of the events in Sinai does not per se mean that Israel organized them. And taken in isolation, I agree with you, it would on the face of it be a fairly fantastical claim that it did. But let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about the Al-Qaeda attack on the United States, where you're calling me from, on 9/11/2001. Who benefited from that massacre of the innocents on that day? Certainly not the Muslims, certainly not the Muslim world. Who benefited from the Al-Qaeda attack on the U.S. Embassy in Kenya and the U.S. Embassy in Tanzania? Certainly not the Muslims. Who benefited actually from any Al-Qaeda operation? Certainly not the Muslims. Then we ask ourselves, where did this Al-Qaeda come from? Well, as I've said many times in Parliament, I won an award for a speech on it. Al-Qaeda was an invention of the United States, Great Britain, and other Western imperialist countries. Osama bin Laden only ended up in Afghanistan by virtue of the money and the organization of Western countries in alliance with the then dictatorship, Hosni Mubarak's dictatorship in Egypt. The Al-Qaeda and the other so-called Mujahideen fanatics were hailed in your country and in mine as freedom fighters. And so I'm beginning to smell a pattern here, especially when I look at Syria, where right now this evening, Al-Qaeda fanatics are killing Christians, killing Shiites, under the overall macro organization of these same Western countries.
One second, Mr. Galloway, if I may respond, one second.
Please, you'll get more than 1 second. I'm delighted to talk to you.
Yes, okay, fast. Al-Qaeda, no one could deny the dream of an Islamic Ummah. The Sunni or Shia, it's divided, but there is this dream. And so even though who benefited, now we see the response that America did, and now you say who benefited or didn't. Excuse me, Islamic people, some of them, Al-Qaeda, they're very blunt and open about it, that there should be an Islamic Ummah. And that it will,
well, there is an Islamic Ummah. You've got your terminology wrong, Ari. The Islamic Ummah is a fact. That just means the Islamic people.
Yes, but the promotion of it. And Al-Qaeda and
all Muslims promote the Islamic Ummah. I think you've got your terms wrong. I think you mean the caliphate, yeah?
Just 1 second about Syria. I support, the same way I support Shias in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain that are fighting for freedom, so too I support the Syrian people that are rising up for freedom.
Which ones? Are you supporting Al-Qaeda in its killing of Christians in Syria and its burning of churches? Ari, I'm asking you a question. This is a dialogue.
Yes.
Are you supporting the Islamist fanatics who have been organized by your country, the United States, supported by mine, who are this evening attacking churches, killing Christians, killing Shiites in Syria?
No, I do not support it. No, I do not support it. And I raise up against it. And the Iranian tourists, if they are tourists, then they should be freed. And I do not support in the mass killing of civilians that are caught, tourists that are caught, Iranian, Shia, Sunni. It should be unacceptable.
Okay.
And America should speak out against it. But not everybody in Syria is Al-Qaeda.
No, of course not. Ari, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that at all. And if you go on to YouTube, look at my latest podcast, George Galloway on Syria, you'll find it easily. It's going like hotcakes. You'll find exactly my analysis on Syria. Let me ask you one last question.
Yes.
You lived in what you call Israel and what I call Palestine. You had the right to do so because you were a Jew. If you were a Palestinian, even if your family had lived there for 1,000 years, you had no right to do so. You must rot in a refugee camp in the neighboring countries, if you're unlucky, and in the United States, in exile, if you're lucky. Will you join with me in supporting the concept of one democratic state from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea, where the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians can live as equals, one with another, in a country governed on the basis of one man, one woman, one vote?
I would not agree to that. I would agree to having a state of Israel and the Palestinian state, be it Jordan or Palestine.
Oh, Jordan or Palestine. A Palestinian state in Jordan. A Palestinian state in Jordan. Why not Texas, Ari?
No, Jordan, exactly, because it's not Texas, it's Jordan. It's right there.
Yeah, but why should the Palestinian state be in Jordan? Why should the Palestinian state be in Jordan? Why shouldn't it be in Palestine?
It is Jordan. 85% of Jordan is Palestinian. Uh-huh. It is. Uh-huh. It doesn't need to be.
No, I'm not talking about the population of Jordan. I'm talking about the land of Palestine. Why can't the Palestinian state...
Ari, as you call it,
Ari, why can't the land... Why can't the Palestinian state be on the land of Palestine? Why must it be in Jordan?
Palestinians could be on the land of Palestine if they so
Which parts of the land of Palestine?
To have a state.
Which parts of the land?
Showing themselves capable of
Showing themselves capable. Showing themselves capable. You see, your slip is now showing, Ari. You were Mr. Liberal. You were Mr. CNN, Mr. Guardian. Until your slip started to show. Until you made it clear that actually you want the Palestinians transferred to Jordan, and that they could have a Palestinian state, but only when they showed themselves capable. Ari, you're an imposter, but you provided some entertainment, for which I thank you. Let's go to the comment wall and take your email. And we want all points of view up here on the comment wall. It's good to know that our enemies are watching and even ready to phone up the show, isn't it? Linda, though, is from Alexandria in Egypt. The attacks in northern Sinai have all the hallmarks of a false flag operation. Remember the Lavon affair. Why would Islamists want to kill an Egyptian soldier when the president is an Islamist himself? Why would Hamas want to cause trouble between Gaza and Egypt when it has a good relationship with President Morsi, who planned to open the Rafah crossing? Linda, you said it in a paragraph more succinctly than I managed to do. Thanks. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one is from Gary in Halifax, Canada. The treatment of the Rohingya brings to mind the treatment of the Roma over the centuries, even down to the present identification of individuals or families as Roma in Europe and the Americas, as recent cases in Canada have demonstrated, has been a virtual sentence of civil death on such persons. They have no status and hence no rights whatsoever. We need a new approach to human rights on the world scale, as rights that exist by dint of our being human. Again, very, very succinctly put out there in Halifax in Canada, and all my best regards to all my friends in Canada. Let's talk to Jeff in the UK, though, about Gaza. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Before I talk about Gaza, I'd just like to say I mentioned something in error last week when I said Press TV had come back on the Sky platform. It hasn't. You were right. What I meant to say was that there is a channel, Controversial TV, which is channel 200 on the Sky platform, that does show, I think, about 4 hours of Press TV programs a day.
Okay. And well, I know nothing about that. We know nothing about that. But fair enough. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I read about it on the Press TV website. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll need to read that then.
Yeah, it was a big surprise to me, actually. But I would just say
I hope it's not my programs, because they certainly haven't paid me for them. Anyway, go on.
Yes, I think with Egypt, George, I was going to say that I think I was going to ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay, because I know you're very familiar with the area. I take this as sort of Mohamed Morsi's first test, really,
yes,
with Israel, and you know, the surrounding area. I know Sinai is quite a lawless and rather neglected area.
Yeah, although,
Egypt.
Jeff, one of the reasons why it's lawless is that Egypt is not allowed by its treaty with Israel to deploy its armed forces there.
Well,
if its armed forces were properly deployed there, it would not per se be lawless.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, I think even to deploy their forces there recently, they had to have Israel's consent, didn't
Indeed,
they?
Indeed, yes.
So, I mean, it's quite ridiculous. I mean, I think Sinai is actually...
You've got to have your neighbour and former belligerent's permission to have your own army in your own country.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sinai is actually bigger than Israel.
Much bigger.
And it's, you know, the area, the idea that the Egyptian military can't even go there of their own accord. I think, Morsi, is it not the Brotherhood's position that the treaty with Israel, they don't believe in getting rid of it, but they do believe in renegotiating it? Am I right in that?
Yes, you are, yes.
Yeah, so I think that certainly, you know, they need to rewrite, you know, a great deal of that. I mean, I'm not a warmonger. I'm not one who wants to see Egypt and Israel go to war necessarily, but I am very concerned about the living standards of the people in Gaza. Very concerned that the people in Egypt, I mean, it wasn't that long ago when the Egyptian people were having to pay more for their own gas than the people of Israel.
Israel, yeah.
I mean, that is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And I would just ask you, George, because I'm not really an expert on these matters, as you know. What is your opinion, really, on how this new government's been doing? Because I'm aware that the border crossings with Gaza, I mean, I know they've been the conditions have been getting progressively better bit by bit over the past
Well,
few
the point is now, Jeff, that whoever conducted this operation, one of the outcomes of it is that the border is now closed again and the tunnels are being blocked. And that means the people of Gaza will not have bread, will not have medicine, will not have the wherewithal of life. And as I say, on the 6th of September, I have permission to take a convoy through from Al Arish to Gaza. And we'll have to wait and see in the next days how these events have affected that. I'll keep you posted. Jeff, great call. I want to go because I don't think I've ever been to Sierra Leone before on comment, but Amin is there and wants to talk about Saudi Arabia and Gaza. Amin in Sierra Leone. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
Welcome.
First and foremost, I would like to congratulate Press TV for a good work done since I've been looking, watching the news compared to other networks.
Thanks.
For the reality in reporting and whatsoever I think in news, I prefer the Press TV for now. And my own point, I would just want to make it clear. In the plight of the Palestinians, they have no land for sure, as I was hearing one of the guests saying, why can't the Palestinians go to their land? How can they go to their land when their land is being occupied by the Zionists and they've been killed in a daily basis in cold blood? The world is looking and saying nothing. Our brother Muslims in the Muslim world, like the Saudis, the Qataris, instead of supporting the Palestinians, they prefer supporting the armed rebel groups in Syria. You see, this is rather unfortunate and ridiculous to my own point of view. As a Muslim and as a human being, deviating from the truth, going to the wrong path.
Well, I must say, I mean, very well said. And if that's the debut telephone call from Sierra Leone, it'll be hard to beat it. I mean, very powerfully put. I appreciate that very much indeed. Let's go to Abdul Jalil in the UK on Gaza and the Quds Day on the 17th of August. Abdul Jalil, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Hi, George.
Salaam
alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
First of all, George, I'm absolutely happy to see you on this show. I am originally from Germany, and I am the Quds organizer of the German Quds Rally in Berlin.
Okay.
And I would be very happy to see you next year on our Quds Rally, because beside of Great Britain and America and the Zionist regime, Germany is playing a very, very bad role in Middle East, and is maybe the creator of the Third World War. because Germany was delivering in the past submarines to Israel, which can be used as an atomic weapon platform. And we seriously need people like you to speak the truth about what is that kind of countries doing with us.
Well, look, Abdul Jalil, thanks for that. I won't be in London on the 17th, and I really am anywhere available to speak at the Quds Day demonstrations, because it's my birthday the day before on the 16th of August, and I'm almost always on my family holiday at that time. And I won't be able to do it next year in Germany either, but I'm ready to speak in Germany anytime, and even if not in person, there's always Skype, and of course there's always YouTube, including the YouTubes of these great programs. Let's talk to what will probably be the last caller. It's Rukaya in the United States about Gaza. Rukaya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Mr. Galloway.
Welcome. Go ahead.
When talking about what's been transpiring in Sinai in relation to the Gaza Strip tunnels, I believe what is imperative and what people are not mentioning more of is what they're used for, the usage of the tunnels. And by that, I mean, what exactly do the people of the Gaza Strip use the tunnels for?
For
now,
food.
The mainstream media enjoys, they enjoy propagating that they're used to smuggle in an assortment of weapons, but rarely is it mentioned that the tunnels are used to combat what are now extremely high food prices. And remember, this is Ramadan, and many of them are fasting. There is a lack of medicine and building materials which are needed in the Strip, and because of Israel's blockade, these items are rare to find or are extremely expensive. Now, this is important to remember when speaking about and making note of the clashes in Sinai, because not only has Egypt bolstered its military presence in the area, but it's called for the closure of some 1,200 tunnels that are lining the border between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. Now, imagine if the Gaza Strip is already blockaded to such an extent that they have no control over the air, over the sea, over any part of the borders with Egypt. Imagine what this would do. The tunnels being closed, and a high amount, 1,200 of them, it's going to cause the price of the food to soar tremendously.
Goes up, and the availability of vital necessities disappears overnight. Indeed, has now disappeared overnight. Rukaya, great call. Sorry I couldn't let it go on for longer, because unfortunately we've run out of time. But God willing, I'll be back next week in the same time, same place. Remember, these were my views. They weren't the views of Press TV, but I hope you enjoyed them in any case. Go in peace.
Hello, if you just comment on your name and location with that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
Zero, zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through.